Welcome to the Business of Sport, brought to you by Sports Finder. Every week, our CEO, Ahmad El-Hawly, and his co-host, Rob Yowell, founder of Gemini Sport, come together to break down the hottest topics in the world of the business of sport.
Welcome, everyone, to another week in the world of the business of sport. My name, Ahmad El-Hawly, your host, and my co-host, Mr. Rob Yowell. We do it again, week by week, every single week, and this week, it's no different. Plenty to talk about in the world of sports. A lot happening, actually. Some interesting things have transpired since we last spoke. We'll start right up the top, actually. The UFC is pretty much transforming the way pay-per-views can be watched around America for the moment. The UFC has partnered with an immersive tech company called COSM. And COSM specialty is they're immersive tech specialists. So they pretty much bring events to life. So what's going to happen is this is a virtual experience in a big arena where people will be pretty much feeling like they're cage side watching inside the octagon. And these arenas are going to be set up around America. I think from my understanding, the first one is in LA, and then they're going to look to go to Dallas and so on and so on. So again, the UFC leading the way with their digital innovations, partnerships to bring the action to the fans, because there's only so many tickets you can sell in an arena. Pay-per-view is great, but this pretty much makes you feel like you're at the fight night itself. So what are your thoughts, Mr. Rob?
Well, a couple things is that, are we talking about Dana White and UFC again? Is this another guy? Is that the same guy?
Same guy.
Seems to be.
Same guy.
It's the same guy?
Same guy. Yeah.
Okay. You know, we should get him on our show. And because we talk so much about him and what he's doing, I feel that he's living here rent-free. We might as well get him on. but again.
Would love to.
And I think as we've discussed in previous, podcast conversations is that, these guys are setting the trend. They're getting ahead of the game and creating, new markets for their brand and for their product. And again, I think we've all kind of seen, how AI and virtual have evolved to become part of the experience. I mean, we've watched Super Bowls, tie in, Nickelodeon and Slime. We're watching, we've seen the, gamification of live events and here, and this is certainly a byproduct of one of the things we did learn while we were all home watching events is that, creating the in-home away from the venue experience became as critical as the live experience.
Yeah.
And if we and to your point, I'm doing a fight in an arena that can seat 22,000. I know I've got millions of people watching. How do I take this experience out to them? And technology has now allowed us to do that. You don't have to just go to a bigger boat, so to speak. You don't have to go to T-Mobile to Allegiant. You can, even if you're going to Allegiant, you can still sell the tickets, but then you could still, have that in-fight experience, virtual reality experience, wherever you may be watching, whether it's in your home, in a bar with buddies, in a theater, all of these kinds of, venues are where fans can, experience, the action. Because, again, we talked about UFC being a global brand, having fighters around the globe. They've obviously taken their event on the road to around the world to their fans. And they've done a great job of seeding, their fan base globally. So, again, it should surprise no one that Dana White and his team are, really getting involved in this and being first movers and once again, setting trends and changing the way, sport is consumed, especially their brand.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's no need for headsets or other devices. It's pretty much like an LED dome display and all this new software, this innovative software that's been used, has been created to sort of create this immersive experience. And at the same time, you can buy food, you can buy beverages. It's a vibe, you know, it becomes something different to just sitting at home and, yeah, you got friends over, so on. Yeah, but this is a whole experience from the second you walk in to the second you leave. I think it's amazing, honestly.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's for the fan, for the consumer. Look, hey, there's a fight in Vegas. You can't get to it, but yet you can experience the same thing that's going on in Vegas, you know, there in Melbourne. I mean, that's a win-win for the fan.
For
I
sure.
Mean, and like you said, you're happy to pay for that secondary experience, even though it feels live. You know, you're like, I'll go to where they're setting this up and go experience it and getting, feel like I'm there, but I'm a cab ride from home, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's innovative. And, again, tip of the cap to Dana White and his team.
Yeah. And then apparently the NBA has also signed up next after them. So with Cosm too. So interesting to see.
Yeah.
I think what Cosm's trying to do here is.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
I think what Cosm's trying to do here is pretty much make sure that their studios have, or their event spaces have something on at all times, right? Because you can't have a sustainable model of one sport, you know, once a week or twice a week. You need to be having people constantly in there. So you really redefine stadiums, really, if I'm going to be honest with you. This is amazing. It's almost like you're going to have all these mini stadiums around the world now. So,
yeah.
We'll see how we go.
That's right.
Moving on to our next topic. Boxing had its mega fight over the weekend, Saturday night. The Mecca of Boxing in Las Vegas, T-Mobile Arena, sold out T-Mobile. Tank Davis and King Ryan Garcia, two of boxing's biggest names, not even world champions, but biggest names, biggest sellers, went head-to-head. Javante Davis took the win in the seventh round, TKO via body punch. I think hit him in the liver.
It was a thunderous. Yeah,
it was a delayed
sure.
reaction, but he couldn't get up. Some say they reckon he took his spirit with him. he quit.
Oh yeah.
But some say, but those that understand the game say that's a very hard punch to come back from. Entertaining fight.
Can't breathe. Yeah,
entertaining fight. Two young guys. We haven't seen this in a long time in boxing. Two young guys with great records putting it all on the line. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, this is the boxing that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Hagler Hearns, Leonard, you know, fighting Duran fighting Hagler. You know, I mean, it was all of the best fighters were fighting each other.
Yeah.
And we talked, and so, you know, look, it's fights like this that are going to get boxing, you know, back into, you know, kind of the prime time. You know, they need their young stars to fight. There needs to be a rematch. We need to see, you know, our heavyweights, you know, I don't need to see Tyson Fury fight Andy Ruiz. I don't need to see that.
Yeah.
I need to see him fight Alexander Usyk. I need him to see him fight
AJ.
AJ. Yeah, that's the fight we want to see. I want to see it before AJ's old and battered.
Yeah.
You know, AJ's going to go fight Wilder. He may take a haymaker and be done. And then we've missed the window to have that fight. I mean, seeing a fight like this, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, you know, we got, you know, you, it was electric. You saw the crowd. I mean, and again, not to tap, you know, Dana White on the shoulder, but he gives us this every time they come out.
Exactly.
This, you know, we're getting – boxing gives us this once every 18 months, maybe.
If you're lucky.
Who's Canelo? Yeah. Who's Canelo going to fight next? Is he going to fight Triple G when he's 40?
Right.
And still say, like, I get
– Right. Who the hell is right?
Yeah, exactly. Who's the next dude out there? I don't know. I mean, but, you know, again – you know, UFC time and time again gives us the matchups we want. Boxing gave us one this time. I hope everybody enjoyed it. I hope I see these guys fight again. Look, a lot of credit to Ryan Garcia for stepping in. You know, he kind of made weight. You know, wasn't it's not his natural weight. I think he's going to end up going up. But again, these are the fights that one put both of these guys, in the limelight and on the front line of boxing. And hopefully it gave the maybe sent a message to some of these other fighters that are, tiptoeing around trying to keep perfect records and choosing tomato cans, and go, give us a damn fight. Give us a fight that we want to see, and we'll tune in. And I don't know if we've seen the numbers on that yet, but I mean, I'm sure it was pretty good.
There's some numbers.
There was good. There was good hype around it. And, again, when you get a sellout like that, I mean, that's a great indicator. And hopefully the pay-per-view numbers, came in strong as well.
Yeah, so we don't have the pay-per-view numbers just yet, but the live gate was in excess of 10 million, which is huge. Seats were going around at about $500 a seat minimum. That's on the first market. So the secondary market would have been triple that, quadruple that. Pay-per-view was at $85 a pop in the US. Outside, it was a bit less. They're saying Tank is expected to make about $5 million just from the fight alone. Yeah. That's without the pay-per-view and the ticket sales. Mr. Espinoza from Showtime was asked during the fight, because apparently pay-per-view numbers have been spiraling downwards over the last few events, and he reckons that they asked him, what's the reason? You got Canelo, you got Plant versus Benavidez, all big names in boxing. And he said the biggest has been piracy. No question that he's definitely depressing the number of sales. So I have an alternative view on this. I think it's that the sport itself has damaged itself. It's hurt itself because it hasn't branded these fighters well by giving the people the best fights. So people have become less interested in this sport, and I think that started a downward spiral. So I could be wrong, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it too.
Well, look, I think it, look, a lot of it comes back to, if we get more fights like this, more people are going to tune in, more people are going to want to get engaged. I mean, boxing is fighting an uphill battle against what, UFC and MMA in general, gives fight fans. I think we talked about this before, how, this day and age, we've kind of become that McNugget, community on our sports. You know, we want the highlights, we want the snips, we want fast action. We get five rounds of UFC, and not only are we getting five rounds or three rounds, we're getting matchups, we're getting fights. And then boxing, tends to kind of falls into that baseball category. It's slow, guys dance away. You can already see it's a mismatch in some cases. This case was not that, because it's, it was certainly anticipated. And, look, it, I think it delivered. Obviously, Tank Davis, showed his power. He sat Garcia down early, and then, just again, people that don't follow the sweet science, forget about working the body. And, but true fighters, that watch that, know how important that is to tenderize your opponent. Because if you hit him hard enough down there on the liver, he tends to bring that elbow down to block that, and he leaves that chin a little wide open. In this case, Garcia took that punch early, was a little bit more conscious about protecting up top, and Tank said, "Hey, fine, I'll take the liver." And he had a little venison, on the table, with a little Chianti, taking him out with that punch. So I think it's a microcosm of kind of what we're seeing within that boxing versus MMA, is that keep giving us things. If you're a promoter, and you're seeing your numbers go down, hey man, the audience is telling you something. They're telling you something with their wallet. Hey man, this is not worth my time. It's not worth $85. Mm-hmm. You know, this was a fight that you saw a lot of people buy. And if you're you know, I'm running this back as soon as I can. You know, if I'm them. I mean, it was a good fight. It's a good fight. Both young guys. You know, this is one you can run back in 6 months and hype it back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, timing will get you right back into, you know, an October fight. Let's go. Let's get this done. Find an NFL weekend. Hey, find a weekend where the Raiders are playing on Sunday. Put this bad boy back in Vegas on Saturday night. Let's go.
Wow. Imagine that. One other.
Yeah, I might get you to fly in. I might even get you to fly in for that.
Yeah, definitely. That's something I would definitely watch. One fight that's been really underplayed and pretty much just put off top for Tom. Tom, again, is Spence versus Terrence Crawford. Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford. Two informed fighters at their peak flying. Whatever. Don't worry about making it, because one was with Top Rank and one's with PBC, and they don't like each other, obviously. And then he's become a sole promoter, which is that's Crawford, and they still can't get the fight down. I mean, this is what kills the sport. It's just ridiculous.
That's right. Those are two names,
big names
that again. If they're listening, you see what those two young men did. You know, this weekend, that's what you should be doing. That you should be giving your fans that fight. You should be giving that to them. And, you know, and I guarantee you, both of you make twice what those two kids made, you know, given your stature. And you could have that bad boy in the Legion and sell it out.
Yeah, for sure.
You could do it.
For sure.
No doubt. I mean, when you get fights like that, you know, again, it just goes back to boxing can't get out of its own way sometimes.
Unfortunately, not.
You know, so, you know, all we can do is sit here and say, let me tell you, if you did this, your bank account would be overflowing.
Yeah. I hope so. Anyway.
Yeah.
I think
we're all on the same page. You know, fans, this is what fans want to see. Let's go.
Well, we love boxing. Unfortunately, boxing doesn't love itself at the moment.
Yeah, that's right.
It's hurting me tough in its pocket.
They'll keep running Manny Pacquiao there for us.
He was there. Don't worry, he's scouting his next one.
Oh yeah,
he was there.
Yeah, oh yeah,
unbelievable. Hey, and the thing is with Manny, I love him, and I was a big fan growing up watching him. He's a $20 million bill every time he comes to town. Like, he won't step in the ring unless there's 20 large waiting for him. So.
That's right.
Crazy.
He's not a fool.
Nah.
Not his age.
Absolutely not. So
not at his age.
Oh, well, what do you do? Next on our list is the NBA playoffs. Well, good to hear, good to see. The opening weekend was pretty much the most watched opening weekend in 12 years. Last weekend's NBA playoff telecast averaged 4.15 million viewers across the Walt Disney Company's channels, which is ESPN, ABC, Warner Brothers, Discovery, and so on. The Kings Game 1 victory over Golden State averaged 6.26 million viewers, up 38% from last year. And it peaked at 7.56 million viewers. Good to see numbers coming back in, people re-engaging, re-watching. What do you think is the probable cause here?
Oh, well, first and foremost, these games matter.
Okay.
There is no load management coming up. Guys that are missing games are injured. Look what you've got. You've got Steph, you know, the defending champs on the road, having to go down to Sacramento, dropping two games, Draymond, getting suspended, going home and winning two games, you know, even that series up. I mean, you've got drama. Oh, you've got King James and the Lakers winning a play-in game, getting the number two seed Grizzlies.
Yeah.
What do? They come out first night and go ahead and just smoke the Grizzlies at home. Uh-oh.
Wow.
Now the Lakers are in this thing. They're up 3-1. You got the Suns, you know, Clippers come in here, take the first game of the Suns. People are like, whoa, Kevin Durant, And what's happened since then? Oh, cool. You know, Kawhi's out now.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul George is already out. You got Russell Westbrook, you know, balling out. You've got and now you got Book and Kevin Durant cooking. You got the Suns up 3-1. And then you turn around and don't forget the East. You got obviously the Celtics handling their business up 3-1, and Murray, you know, suspended for game 5. You got playoff Jimmy Butler letting everybody know he's still here. Hey guys, don't forget me down here in Miami. Oh, by the way, they're playing Giannis. They're up 3-1. Dude, you have got storyline after storyline after storyline. And you know why? Because everybody's playing because it matters. I mean, now you know, you watch Charles and you watch Shaq and Kenny, and they talk about this is the way we played all the time when we were playing. But, you know, this era of load management and all this kind of stuff, you know, you tend to get off nights. You know, guys don't care, you know, but hey, once that playoff seeding got set and teams were, you know, knew who they had to play, it was game on. And these guys, look, they're the best players in the world for a reason. And we're getting it every night now. We're not getting somebody's B game, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, you've got LeBron James flat out, you know, doing it. You've got Draymond giving all he's got. You got KD going. You've got guys who have legacies on the line playing ball. And this is, you know, and frankly, this is what we should be getting, you know, throughout the season. But, you know, as fans, we know we can tune in to watch these games and know that these guys are going to ball out. You're not seeing very many blowouts. You're seeing great games. You're seeing some upsets. I mean, I'm sure the guys in Vegas are just rubbing their, rubbing their hands on this Miami being up 3-1. I'm sure they're having some fun with the lines on that. I mean, it's, you know, Lakers up 3-1. I mean, you've got you know, how juicy is game 5 Sacramento Golden State? You telling me how juicy is that matchup? Defending champs in a critical game 5. What is the percentage? Like, win game 5, you win 85% of the series.
Wow.
I mean, come on now. You know, that means a ton. It's a ton. So, yeah. So, fans, basketball fans, hoops fans, you know, we kind of didn't get those matchups in the NCAA tournament because of upsets. Hey, we're getting the full buffet right now from the NBA. And to your, you know, the numbers show it. And, you know, it'll be nice to see kind of these next series are going to be great. I mean, it's got basketball, man. The West is going to be exciting. You got the Knicks in the playoffs about to win a series. I mean, you've got big markets. You've got LA. You've got, you know, you had Chicago in there for a bit. You've got New York playing, you know, Miami. You've got markets playing. Phoenix is a big market.
All the big markets are pretty much activated
and stars.
Mm-hmm.
Stars you want to see. I mean, the Clippers, I mean, just imagine if Paul George and Kawhi were playing.
Wow.
I mean, those games would be like battles.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it was that first game. I mean, Kawhi went off. He scored 38, 39. I mean, you couldn't stop him.
Wow.
So, again, all goes back to, look, when these guys want to play, this is what we get. And so this, you know, this is what's frustrating as a fan, as a season ticket holder. Why am I not getting this every night? Because this is what I'm paying the ticket for. So, you know, they don't discount your salary because you didn't play that night. You know, my ticket didn't get discounted because you didn't play. So, I mean, I love what Michael Jordan and those guys always said, is that, you know, why you play so hard? Hey, there might be in the kid in the stand. It might be the first time he's seen me play. So he's going to get my best.
Wow.
You know, should be every night. Should be every night.
For sure.
So
sure. Interesting. Yeah. Well, it's good to see.
But I'm digging it.
It's good to see.
Yeah, I'm digging it.
It's exciting again. It's good to see. We're focusing on the basketball. We're focusing on the sport itself, you know, and all the other rubbish that buggy surrounds it, which is awesome. Some big news last 24 hours. This one's pretty much lit up the NFL world. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. Wow. Yeah.
Finally.
I see a bit of Brady and the Buccaneers here.
Well, I think that's what the Jets are hoping.
Yeah.
The Jets are hoping, because I think they had a playoff caliber defense. They get Breece Hall back, their rookie running back who they lost halfway through the season after he was having a great year. You've got a big media market. You've got an owner with the capability of spending around his new quarterback. And I would say too, Zach Wilson.
Yeah,
man. Get a clipboard out. Get your notepad. Take notes, brother.
Learn.
Watch a pro.
Exactly.
Watch a pro, man. Aaron's got his quirks too, but watch a pro. And if the New York Jets, start doing a Tampa Bay, it'll be a lot of fun to watch. I mean, look, it'll be great for the game.
They're activating the East Coast for sure. New York, New Jersey, on fire.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Patriots, going to make Bill Belichick step it up, and that squad. I mean, but again, this is what we want. I mean, Miami and Buffalo have raised the bar.
Yeah.
And the Jets were like, hey man, I'm in the toughest division, arguably in the NFL. Right up there with that AFC West.
Correct.
I mean, that's nasty. That's nasty. Look at what you got to go against every week. And, what, Mac Jones is probably the worst quarterback in that division now. He's now got an offensive coordinator again, and he was pretty good when he had Josh McDaniel. And now he gets Bill O'Brien. Okay. That'll get your popcorn ready. It should be fun to watch. Obviously, it's a trade that's been talked about. It's been out there, but I think as the draft comes up this week, it allows both of those teams now to focus on, their picks and how they build their team around, their new setups.
The
Jordan Love era has started in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's a very complicated trade. There's a fair few picks in it. The Jets received Aaron Rodgers, the 2023 first round pick. 2023 first round pick, so number fifth round pick, so number 15 overall, and number 170 overall. And the Packers will receive first round pick 2023 number 13, second round pick 2023 number 42, sixth round pick 2023 number 207, and in 2024 conditional season conditional second round pick. Becomes first if Rodgers plays 65% of snaps. Wow! Look at the
That's
detail.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty complicated.
Aaron Rodgers plays. I think we all think that team goes somewhere.
100%.
Aaron's 40 years old, and football's a tough game. So
yeah.
You never know.
I think he was done at Green Bay a couple of seasons ago, actually. I think he was done there.
But he still had MVP seasons a couple, as early as two seasons ago. I think last year was, they didn't, when they lost, when he lost, Devontae, they didn't, he didn't have the confidence in the young receivers. I mean, he had Randall Cobb and then a bunch of young guys that drop balls.
Yeah.
Obviously I think that'll be key for him to get some, they signed Lazard over with the Jets, so he's got a familiar face. Get some young talent out there, and look, Aaron Rodgers can still sling it, just like Tom Brady can still throw
absolutely.
It. You gotta protect him.
Correct, absolutely. Awesome. Let's see how that pans out. And I'll tell you what, we'll be covering some of his commercial value that he's going to bring to the Jets over the next few weeks. So I think he's going to bring a lot more attention. So, some insider. A few years ago, I had a contact in there that was pretty much working in their corporate partnerships and corporate development. And the Jets would be would do 60 million plus a year in sponsorship, right? I'm interested to see the effect he would have on that, whether he would attract a lot more partners, how he's going to influence the city, so on and so on, because he's a pretty big name and a lot of people want to be affiliated with them. Another thing would be interesting to see is Gary V's take on this, and he's known as the super fan. So let's see how things pan out.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, look, it will be quite interesting. I mean, one of my classmates in grad school was the head of PR for the Jets for 10 years, you know, during Mark Sanchez and that era. He's now with the Panthers. He gets to work with the number one pick, you know, here this week. So, I mean, he's seen a lot. And I used to talk to him about, you know, what it was like, you know, in New York with the Jets and dealing with, you know, Rex Ryan and those years. Mm. And, you know, and they were good. I mean, they were going to the playoffs. I mean, they were making some runs. Wow. So he's like, if Aaron Rodgers ignites, and we saw the Giants make a little resurgence last year with Dable. Yeah. So now, you know, now you could have both of the New York franchises
firing,
clicking, yeah, you know, and look, that's good for the game.
Very good.
It's good for the game when you get when you got NYC activated.
So 100%.
Be fun to see.
Absolutely. Let's move on to our next one, a different form of contact sports, the NRL, National Rugby League in Australia. I'd say it's probably one of the biggest rugby leagues in the world. They're looking to launch their 2024 season in Las Vegas. This is a big step for Australian sports. I mean, this has never been done before. So what they're planning to do is they pretty much want to take four teams up to Vegas and pretty much launch with a doubleheader in Sin City. The NRL chairman and his chief executive are off to Vegas next week to start planning this whole event in Vegas. This event now would open up the NRL to the American market and hopefully attract some new fans slowly, and this can become an annual thing, because rugby is very attractive, very physical, very fast-paced, physical. And, you know, it's similar to NFL in a way, but it just doesn't have all the protective gear and there's no forward passing, obviously, and so on. So interesting to see the way this comes off. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, two thoughts is, one, you know, why not? Vegas is an international city. You want to get all your top talent to show up and play at a high level. Hey. Be one of those four teams that's invited to kick off the season in Vegas. That's a trip.
Wow.
That will incentivize some clubs to earn that right.
Yeah.
And two, how do you think Major League Rugby feels? You know, I mean, they're like, wait a minute. You know, what are you doing in my backyard?
Yeah.
Do a couple things, Major League Rugby. Take notes. Go see what happens.
Wow.
Go see how they're filling that, you know, how they fill that stadium up and play that doubleheader and how that goes. I mean, again, you know, it's a destination trip, but again, those are the, you know, Major League Rugby is trying to grow in this country. You know, you want to get better. You learn from the great ones. You know, and again, this is not some international friendly where they brought the All Blacks in to play, you know, the Welsh or something. I mean, this is paid professional rugby, means a hell of a lot down in Australia.
Yeah.
You know? This is like the NFL taking their season openers over and playing in Tokyo.
Yeah, correct. And this is rugby league, not union. I'm pretty sure
union.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Major League Rugby is union, I'm pretty sure, from memory. So yeah, this is league. Australia is known to be the best in the world when it comes to league. They win the World Cup at a ridiculous amount of times. but it's a faster game. And it's very attractive because it's very physical. And I think they just recently renegotiated their TV rights for, from memory, it was about somewhere around the $4 to $5 billion mark over 6 years. So Australia is a small market. New Zealand is also very engaged in this game. But now to take it to Sin City, try and engage the Americans, it's not a bad move. And it's really easy to facilitate in America because it's a rectangular oval. So they can play on all the NFL ovals grounds. Whereas the Australian game, the Australian Football League, is like a oval, what's the word? It's an oval-shaped ground. So it's not rectangular. So it's harder to facilitate because there's no other sport in the world plays on such a ground. So it does have potential. I really believe it does because of the style of the game, how easy it is to facilitate through existing infrastructure there, and the entertaining part of it. They get physical, they fight, they square up like the ice hockey, and like it gets really exciting. So it's interesting to see how Americans take to it.
Yeah, well, I mean, no better place than to go sample some rugby than to Vegas.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're gonna go, make it an adventure.
Absolutely. One last one. I mean, before we we're pretty much heading to the end of our show, is there was an announcement overnight as well where Endeavor, the parent company of the UFC and the WWE now, is selling off the IMG Academy for $1.25 billion. That place is amazing. It's absolutely incredible what they've done there. The IMG Academy's famously produced tennis stars such as Andre Agassi, Venus and Serena Williams, Pete Sampras, and many others. It's been sold to a private equity group called BPEA EQT from Hong Kong. And they also own all these other educational institutions. They service over 175,000 students around the world in the private education system. And now they're about to add another 30,000. So interesting sale, interesting time to get rid of it, maybe focus on this WWE and the UFC merger because the upside there is greater. And yeah, we'll see how things pan out. So what are your thoughts on this sale?
Well, you know, a couple of things. Obviously, I think the sale of the IMG Academy I'm not saying that it was timed, following the WWE acquisition, but certainly does help restock the war chest a little bit after that acquisition. Yeah. But two, I think what it does is, look, IMG Academy, has been a game changer, as it relates to, specialized sports training for high school athletes, preparing them for college, preparing some of those, select sports to, focus on becoming a pro, younger, where those sports allow, earlier entry. But I've actually gone back and forth with a few folks that, one, I've got a friend that runs their volleyball program down there. We just recently sent a rising junior quarterback to their football program. And I've got a friend that's got a daughter that just graduated from tennis and another one who's in their golf program. So I've kind of been talking with a lot of people who are right in the middle of all this. And I think, we've all kind of talked a little bit about, I think what this is going to do is, it's not going to just be Bradenton, Florida anymore. I think what you're going to see is you're going to see IMG Academy West. I think you're going to see IMG Academy Europe.
Wow.
I think you're going to see an IMG Academy, maybe Australia.
Expansion.
I don't know. Maybe, Pan Asia. Yeah. I think what you'll see is that you'll see that brand. Because I think, you know, you and I both see that brand and we immediately know what it means.
Yeah, right? For sure.
We know that that's, you know, if you're coming off one of the traveling top teams at IMG Academy, you're a Division I talent, you're someone that's got pro potential, all that kind of stuff. And I think that you're now going to see this, just evolve and be, you know, that branding, you know, go to other international markets and just expand the brand. So what I hope is that what it will do is, you know, much like it has opened up doors for athletes here in the U.S. to get into, U.S., recruiting and things of that nature. I hope that, what it will open the door is that for an athlete that's talented in a sport that's stronger internationally, that they can, that it allows them to, you know, you see a soccer talent from there not go to a Division I college, but you see them end up in a, you know, in an EPL academy or perhaps even, you know, go right into a, you know, a second or third division, you know, European club as an acquisition, as opposed to, seeing them because the path here in the U.S. for soccer is not to go to Division I college. you want to get over to Europe or get into a European
system.
Interesting. Yeah. And volleyball, you know, like that as well. And track and field, things of those nature where you see international, exposure being stronger, being stronger elsewhere, you know, the exposure or the opportunities being, you know, more, higher profile, internationally than here. And so, if you've got a young athlete and you want to send them to do volleyball, you've got a fantastic, person leading that, two-time Olympian, two-time player of the year, 13-year professional career playing at a high level. You've got someone that knows how to develop talent and get you to, and has the connections in the sport to get you where you want to go. But more importantly, he's got connections. He just got back from, a tournament in Kosovo. I mean, he's over there training, some of the best, athletes in another country. So instead of him having to recruit them to come here, maybe IMG Academy goes, we're going to put, one of our next academy in this region, and we can draw soccer, we can draw volleyball, we can draw track and field. As someone who's got a son that plays American football, maybe with the way that sport is growing overseas, NFL getting, more and more games over there, most of the countries having domestic leagues, maybe you see an IMG Academy football for some of these international countries to send some of their top. Yeah, I mean, to bring that talent and that coaching over there and put them in an infrastructure to where they can grow,
especially
and get better
Europe,
and not have to come here to
Europe,
it.
It's enough because in Europe, everything is a train right away. You can jump on a train in a couple of hours, you're in Spain or France. It's so easy. So it's definitely a no-brainer. Definitely a no-brainer. But interesting to see how things pan out. I know I said that was the last one, but one other piece of information that came out overnight as well was that FC Barcelona got on the green light for their $1.6 billion project, renovation of the Camp Nou Stadium. These guys are an interesting bunch, I tell you. How can you run a club like Barcelona and be in so much debt? It's ridiculous. So what's happened is they've pretty much agreed to financing with 20 investors. And listen to these terms. Mm-hmm. Barcelona plans to pay in installments at 5 years, 7 years, 9 years, 20 years, and 24 years. A plan that will include a flexible structure and grace period. Very interesting. It's believed that the renovation will help them pretty much generate an additional $271 million annually, which will go towards the the debt. Are we going to see these guys go back into the same hole that they were in, or they're in now, or can they actually honor this agreement? Because over the last couple of years, they've had to literally sell the shirt off their backs. I mean, we're seeing Camp Nou called the Spotify Camp Nou. that was under no circumstances was that to ever happen before. They're selling their media, part of their media business. They're selling parts of their infrastructure in through different assets. And are they in trouble, or are they like, what's the problem here? They're probably the biggest club in the world.
Look, they're paying for past financial sins for sure. I think they want to make one more run at number 10.
There's negotiations.
Believe me. There's no problem if they're going to go back into debt again, you go back into debt for that guy.
He'll
for what he's been to that club.
Pay off the debt.
Yeah, he will. He will. But you know, again, that's look, time will tell for sure on what happens there. There was a lot of creative accounting before. I'm sure there'll be creative accounting again. But you know, again, they are. I do think that they've got a better structure around them today than they did. But I don't think that they'll, fall down that rabbit hole again. But, it is, soccer, the global game is quite lucrative. They've got to find ways to, look, they're about championships. They're about Champions League. They're about, hoisting trophies. And, they've got, look, I think they've got the right coach.
Yeah.
They've got some really good young talent. I think Messi's still got a little bit left. If he wants to, finish his premier playing career there before he, goes and takes $400 million from, the Saudis or comes over here and has every MLS team paying his salary, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think that he got to leave Barcelona the way he wanted to. And, I think they're going to do everything they can to,
get him back,
bring him home. Yeah. So this is a step in that. And if I'm an investor, I invest in that homecoming
huge
would be lucrative.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. That leads us to the end of our segment. We've chatted a fair bit today, a lot covered. What are your parting words, buddy? Give us your thoughts.
Something that we did. Obviously, let's not forget about some of the other playoffs that are going on. We're seeing NHL hockey. Seeing, the run of the Stanley Cup, which is, one of the great, playoff, traditions. We got beards growing. We've got the cup making its appearances right now around the sports media. So, we've got fantastic, series going on. So that'll be exciting. Obviously in the sports world, we didn't talk about it, but, it was big news this week with, ESPN making massive cuts along their lines. And so, it's just a reminder that there's a lot of good people in this business, and sometimes, big business kind of forgets, who got them there. And there's, there's some good people hit the street this week, for no fault of their own.
Wow.
They were good employees. And so, again, I think we'll see some transition around that. And Commanders still haven't sold yet. So we still got that out there. And we got an NHL franchise that may go for $1 billion. with the Ottawa Senators on, you know, on the market. So lots of things to still, you know, keep our eye on and follow. And then the last thing was that, you know, we talked about, you know, the LIV Tour a couple weeks ago. I mean, you know, they have made overtures of to perhaps starting a rival for the LPGA. So they've had so much fun pissing off the PGA. You know, this is an equal opportunity, equal gender program. So they're going to go, you know, they're going to run a women's, look at running a women's tour as well. So let's keep our eye on that.
Yeah.
See what happens. It'll be quite interesting to see who their Greg Norman is that they hire to lead that. You know, do they make a run at an Annika Sorenstam or somebody like that, who's, you know, an extremely popular player and great champion, to lead a tour like that? And can you get some of the some of the talent, you know, off the LPGA? Who knows? It'll be interesting. These are all things that are percolating in the world of sport. This time next week, you know, we'll have the NFL draft to talk about, and the breakdown of what happens this week. And, you know, maybe we've got a sale, you know, of a franchise. We'll have some first round series will be over, and we'll be able to talk about that in the NBA. And, you know, did the Lakers advance? Did the Celtics, you know, did the defending champs escape, you know, the Kings? I mean, there's a lot of good stuff ahead. And, you know, again, my friend, I appreciate the time that we get to spend and talk about this and chew this up, and look forward to doing it again next week.
Sounds good. Look forward to it too. Once again, thank you very much, Rob. Thank you to everybody who tunes in, and we will catch you all next week. Take care, everyone. Goodbye.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Finder podcast. Subscribe to our show for the latest episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for more information, check out our website at sportsfinder.com.